Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, the business podcast for smart people who appreciate the insights found in a good conversation. That guy sitting at the end of the proverbial bar is your host, David J.P. Fisher, but everyone around here just calls him D. Fish. He's an author, speaker, and business coach. Basically, he's a professional talker. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage, grab a seat, and join us for today's episode. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another interesting conversation with an interesting person. Today, the role of interesting person is being played by my good friend, Rob Hazen. Rob is the senior video editor at Properties Real Estate here in Chicago. And I often do say people are my friend when I introduce them on the show, but I'm pretty excited. This truly is one of my best friends. And in fact, one of the progenitors, one of the people who was there at the very beginning of the idea of the inception of Beer, Beats, and Business. Rob, how are you doing today?
I was definitely there when that happened. I'm pretty sure we were talking and I'm pretty sure we were drunk.
You know, I can't say that. We definitely had a couple beers, but unfortunately, everybody had too many beers. So nobody said, hey, that's a bad idea. And Then here we are. We're six seasons in. So
no, we were definitely saying this is the best idea there ever has been.
Yeah, that's true. I think we probably were. So some beers were definitely involved. So Rob, first of all, welcome. Finally, season six, we got you on. Thank you,
Dave. Yeah. What took you so long? I don't know.
I don't know either. But speaking of beers, I do want to say thank you to our sponsor today. I am drinking an Infinite Citra, a Citra-hopped India Pale Ale from Pipeworks Brewing right here in Chicago. And it's pretty delicious. Not necessarily my normal beer, but I have to admit, I'm enjoying it. I think I've found something for the more citrusy, sweeter pale ales. And I think, Rob, for veracity's sake, you are also enjoying.
I am also having the Infinite Citra. You're the one who passed it along to me saying, these guys are fantastic sponsors and let me have this beer so we can talk about it together.
There you go. So look at that, Pipeworks, your sponsorship paying off already. Mm-hmm. But very good.
I do like the hoppy ones. So.
And you do, and I know we're going to get there. So before we just completely go off the rails, which I'm sure we will at some point today, let's talk about something that I think is actually really relevant and important to people right now, and that's video, because you and I have been making videos together for almost a decade.
Yeah.
Even though you'll probably blush and make a snarky comment when I say this, you really are my video guru. If I have a question about anything from a technical aspect to a directing aspect to really anything about video, you're the guy I go to. So kind of a broad question. As people are using video more, as we all have full studios basically on our phones, what are the best practices that people should think about when making video for business?
Well, I mean, as you said, everybody's pretty much got a fairly good studio on their phones now. I mean, when I was coming up in the industry, which was almost 20 years ago now, you know, we would have killed for the quality of cameras that we got that are able to correct for things like focus and color and lighting that you can just get on any smartphone right now.
And usually just by, you know, pushing a button, you don't even have to know.
You don't even have to push a button. The smartphone knows. So the things that I would say differentiate good video now isn't so much the equipment anymore, although there is certainly stuff that you can do to improve the look of your things by getting some very basic equipment. But I'd say that it's about the vision that you have going into it.
Mm, okay.
I can't tell you how many times I've worked with people, either in business or advertising, which I've worked in for a while, who came to us or came to me and said, I just want something cool. What can we do that's cool?
Well, you are the guru of cool as well. So
yeah, I'm totally the guru of cool. No, I looked at those people like they're crazy. It's like, you can't come to me for that. But the fact of the matter is that especially for business people is that you know what's important for you and for your customers. So I, as a video person or your camera, can't tell what's supposed to be important for your video. So the very first thing that I tell people whenever they're making a video is, what are you trying to say and who is your audience? Because those two things should drive the decisions that you make for a good video.
Right.
If you're just trying to wing it and say, oh, well, I want something that's for everybody, and I want to tell them 100 things about my company, you're going to end up with either an hour-long video, which nobody's going to watch, or you're going to wind up trying to shove so many things in a short period of time that you're not going to have a coherent message. So the first step is always to come up with that message and say who it's pointed to.
So that's interesting. The first thing was that you said there is not go get a good camera, go get a fancy microphone, go get a good fancy lighting setup, but rather just kind of simply, who's the audience? What do they need to hear? And how are you going to craft that message, right? So doing that,
exactly.
It's kind of the unsexy work, but the important work.
I mean, actually, I disagree. I think the unsexy work is saying, oh, well, I got to go out and find a good camera or a tripod to hold my smartphone or get out a light ring.
That's because you're around sexy tripods all day, Rob.
Yeah, well, you know, I try and control myself. But like those things they're all helpful. And they will make your videos better. And, you know, I'm happy to recommend those to anyone who's trying to start video. But at the same time, it's all for nothing if you just try and slap something on the screen and it doesn't speak anything about what you're trying to say and it doesn't say anything to other people.
Right.
The first thing that you have to do is craft your message and know who you're talking to.
In the end, the content still is key, right? It's the idea of slapping lipstick on a pig. If you have crappy content, if you're not saying anything, I don't care if it's great lighting and great audio and it's all the fanciest equipment and fancy special effects, if it's still not a good message, people aren't going to respond to it.
More than ever, that's true. The thing that the equipment has done, that smartphones and smaller cameras and all that has done, is it levels the playing field on how good the quality of the look of your thing is.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is about how you're presenting it, not how it looks, because that's something that you can tailor to your level. But at the same time, if you don't have a message that grabs people, that's coherent and they can understand it, I can't tell you how often I've worked with people who will say, I'll say, okay, what's the message that you're trying to send? And they'll give me a bullet list of 20 things.
Right.
And you can't say 20 things in a video and have somebody be able to retain all that.
Yep.
You want to come up with, if you can't stick to one message, then I'd say two or three is the max. You never want to push your whole agenda. If you're making a video, then you should craft a single coherent message that people will be able to get almost from the start. If you have more than one message like that, make more than one video.
Right.
I mean, how many videos have you made, D, at this point?
Hundreds.
Hundreds at this point. Because, you know, you want to talk about different aspects of what you're doing, what you're trying to teach people, and you're also trying to teach them nuance.
Right.
But if you're coming up with a single video, you want to teach them one thing with one message.
Right.
And every time you try and complicate that, then it just becomes muddied.
So it's interesting as you're sharing that, I go back to probably some of the best lessons you taught me about making video, which, I mean, this is literally almost a decade ago, you and I started making business videos. It's like YouTube was just kind of starting to make a name for itself. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make these business videos. And you're like, I'll help. And so we literally set up a studio in my front living room.
We pushed all your couches aside. We set up like essentially a clothesline with a sheet on it. So you had a backdrop.
And we had to make sure that the neighbors were out of the house because they had a dog.
Right. And what did we do? We got a bunch of clip lights from Home Depot.
Yep.
And attached them to like music stands.
Oh, it was so jerry-rigged.
It was.
But what's funny is, you really did help me early on kind of work through that winging it phase, because I would have all this content and you used to be brutal with me, and I appreciated it because I was like, you can direct me. You'd be like, okay, great. You had five things you just said in that take. What are you actually trying to say? And I'd be like, well, this is the most important thing. And you're like, great, let's do it again.
Just say that.
Just say that.
Yeah, because you were used to two forms of communication. You were used to talking to people in conversation, and you were used to, did I say conversation? I meant presentation. You were used to talking to people in conversation, and you were used to writing things.
Yep.
And those two things, you can have a million different topics and you can touch on 90 different things and still get your point across. But video, you just want to pare it down to the important things. And so I had to wean you away when you were writing these scripts. I remember the first time we did it, like we didn't have a teleprompter or anything. We literally had like seven pieces of paper taped to the bottom taped to the tripod where you could see it. And it was like, these are the 20 points I want to go through. And I was like, three, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, and that helped me a lot, I think. By the way, going back to even just presentation skills, if I was doing a training or presenting in person, it that conciseness definitely helped. But I also think as video evolves, because this was going back, and I still remember the first video I ever made, and this was before you showed up. I was just like doing it on my own. I think it was 9 minutes, so you cured me of that quickly. But even then, it was interesting to see, like, let's go back 5 years, how many people were still making those 5 to 10 minute videos. And I was just on a call the other day, I was talking about native LinkedIn video, and I was like, 90 seconds max. And in fact, 60 seconds are even pushing it. Just because, one, you know, we're busy and noisy as far as social media platforms. But just as you said, the medium is so different. The medium doesn't really lend itself to long, drawn out, complicated presentations.
There is a forum for that sort of presentation, and quite frankly, Ted's got the market cornered on that.
And but, even that's only what, 17 minutes? Yeah, like, it's not long.
Like, yeah, that's like 15 minutes maybe, and that's like, this is one of the most interesting people we could find, and they have been crafting this message for months.
Right.
That's that. Every other person who's watching a video, whether it be on social media or wherever, even if you go looking for it on YouTube, you're not looking to sit for 20 minutes and listen to somebody give their presentation. You're looking for somebody to talk about one aspect that you're actually paying attention to and teach them something in that amount of time. 90 seconds, I think, is a great amount of time. I mean, I've been working on real estate videos recently, and we tell people that even though they think that the video should be 4 minutes long to show every nook and cranny of a home, 90 seconds means people will watch it from beginning to end, and then they'll see, you know, this is my contact information and this is what the whole place looks like. And if they care about it, then they'll ask for more. That's always right. The drive of good marketing video. Or good marketing anything, as far as I'm concerned, is you're trying to get people's attention and get them interested so that they ask for more. Not, I don't want to try and teach everybody every little thing. You're just trying to get them to ask for more. That's when you can start selling them.
Right. That makes so much sense. It also, I mean, just think about music. For better or worse, you know, songs are 3 minutes long, right?
Right. I mean, radio stations didn't want to play long songs because they knew that if somebody wasn't interested in that song and it lasted for 6 or 7 minutes, then they'd tune out and they'd go to their competitor. It's the same way with video now, is that if you're not making your point you know, quickly and concisely enough, they're going to go somewhere else to look for it. So like, you want to get that point across. You want to be, you know, it's, you want to be memorable and professional, but at the same time, you want to get them hooked as soon as you can and then have them asking for more, not tell them every last bit of their your story so that they say, okay, I know enough about this guy already. We're done.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up the point too, that along with this idea of directing it, and I use directing it in kind of the film sense of like having somebody who's kind of focusing the message, there also is, especially when, and I tell this to people who want to get into video, and I tell them, because I had to learn this myself, is you have to kind of get over your ego and be like,
oh, yeah,
people really don't want to watch me for 4 minutes, even though I think I'm fascinating and my mom would totally want to watch me for 4 minutes. Nah, nobody else does.
Yeah. I mean, you know me for doing everything for your videos, but I'm primarily an editor. And one of the first things you learn as an editor is not to fall in love with anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's not gonna, you know, the things that you love as a video goes aren't necessarily going to be the things that your client loves or that your audience loves.
Right.
So you have to be willing to compromise on those things in order to get your message across.
Absolutely. And to go back to the conversation that we had about when we started doing videos together, you would, no joke, you would take my 20 bullet points, because that sounds about right, and be, okay, D, you get three. Which are the three? And I'd be like, well, this one, this one, this one. But actually, this is important. This one. You'd be like, no, you get three.
Right. That's it. And I would actually always, you know, not only would I lop off your bullet points, but I'd make sure that they had a story. I mean, that's the thing that I, as a video professional, care about, because humans are naturally storytellers and story receivers. That's how we transmit information. That's how we transmit knowledge, is through stories. And if your video or whatever, your presentation doesn't have a story that leads somebody somewhere, then it's not going to be watchable. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm just saying like that if bullet point one is about how great travel is, and then bullet point two is about the warm feeling you get staying inside, then people are going to be like, wait, what just happened? You need right. to have a story, you know, that, I mean, this is,
it's got to have connective tissue, right? It's got to be held together.
Connective tissue is a great way to put it. Yeah. It's got to have a segue. You can't just teach them one thing and then I'm going to teach you something entirely different. That's why I usually say one thing is the best, because you don't have to worry about your segue if you're only teaching one thing. But if you're teaching multiple things, you got to find a way to make them coherent and connected.
Right. I love that. All right. So if somebody goes, okay, I'll work on my message. You kind of referenced this before, but as far as some of the more technical aspects, what are the top two or three things that people can do to make a better video? So they've heard you, hopefully. All right, we're clear. We know who our audience is. We know the message we want to share. If I wanted to make sure I'm packaging my video the best way, what are some easy things that you see people, to be blunt, make mistakes with a lot?
One of the biggest mistakes I see is people moving their camera during their shoot.
Okay.
I'm not saying that there's something wrong with getting different shots. I'm saying that like nobody liked the Blair Witch up until the last 10 seconds of it.
All jumpy and just, scattered.
Yeah. If it's the shaky camera is a sign. So if you're trying to shoot a selfie video, don't hold it in your hand. It's just not gonna, I mean, it just looks unprofessional when the camera's shaking and like your angle is slightly moving around.
You can get a phone tripod for $15 yeah. on Amazon, right?
Heck, I can make you a phone tripod out of two file clips and a business card that'll serve you better than you know, your hand'll do.
Right, that's right. Okay.
The other thing is all about light. I'm not going to try and teach anybody.
No, you don't have to talk about 3-point lighting.
I do think that those ring lights that people are using are actually great things.
Yeah. I mean, they're $40 for the whole setup.
Yeah. It costs almost nothing. You know, it just snaps on and you've got very usable lighting. It may not be perfect, but it's good. And then the last thing is about where you're going to set yourself up. I mean, I admit that right now when I'm picturing a business person giving a video, it's you, Dee, giving your various videos.
Sorry, I live in your brain, man. I live in your brain.
You're the businessman living in my brain. But you want to create an interesting space that you're in.
Right.
So like your videos, you know, they've got a bongo in it and a couple of your books and, you know, a poster of the Boston's. And it's like, well, other people would look at that and go, that's unprofessional. And I look at that and go, well, Dee's trying to tell you something about himself. Mm. Dee plays drums. Dee listens to ska. Dee wrote some books.
Right.
I just learned that from the very first frame of your video.
Yep.
And I think that more people should do things like that. I mean, whenever we ask for submissions in the various jobs I've been in, whenever we ask for just self-shot submissions, there are so many people who submit things where they're standing against a taupe wall.
Right.
And they're trying to be like, let me tell you about how interesting this is. And it's like, you just lost me with your taupe wall. Go stand in front of the logo of your company. Stand in front of something you care about in your house, because that'll tell people about your personality. And it doesn't require any time out of your videos teaching the rest of your message.
Yep. That context is so valuable. And it's funny because, I mean, I learned this from you, but the three things you just talked about in a bunch of my YouTube videos, those were exactly the three things that I would want somebody to kind of pull out of it. And funnily enough, I remember I was actually shooting live videos for a video podcast, mm-hmm. but it was probably for one of the top sales video podcasts literally in the world. This was filmed out of the UK. And we do this video shoot. And then afterwards, you know, he stops recording. He's like, is that a Boston's poster? And I'm like, yeah, actually one of my favorite bands. And he's like, oh, I love ska. I'm like, dude, I played in a ska band for 10 years. And boom, we just had this great conversation for like 20 minutes. And I was
and
like,
now you're best friends. And that was just because of what was going on in the background.
Don't worry. You're still my best friend.
oh, thanks, buddy.
But no, it did, to your point, just to open up opened up the opportunity for a human conversation. And I think that, yes, especially, I mean, we're recording this in the pandemic. There's a lot of people who are on Zoom calls right now and showing people way more of their lived space than they might have in the past. And to temper what you just said, it's still make sure you look good. Right. There's definitely the corner of your house. I mean, this is what I used to do. There was a corner of the room that was nice. And then the rest was chaos.
Right. I'm not saying that you should teach people about your bad habits or your, you know,
the fact that you don't do laundry.
Right. I'm just saying that it's better to be able to. Video is a visual medium. And in order to get the most out of it, you have to make use of everything that you're showing on the screen.
Right.
And that means that involves your personal presentation in terms of what you look like. That involves, you know, the space that you're living in. That involves whether or not you're in focus.
Yeah.
I've gotten so many videos handed to me where they went, can you make this look better? And it's completely out of focus. And I say, well, no, I can't make this look better because you've already messed it up from the start.
Right. You can't fix a lack of focus in post.
No, you can't. No. And anyone who tells you they'll fix it in post, they are lying to you and they are going to take your money and run. Be aware.
Good advice. Just get it right the first time.
Right. And if no, actually, I'm saying get it right. I don't care if you have to do 3 or 4 or 5 takes. Get it right. How many takes did we used to do on your videos, Dee? We used to do like 6 or 7 takes of every last one.
I mean, I would say at a minimum. And that was just hoping that, again, the dog upstairs wouldn't bark or one of my cats wouldn't walk across frame.
And that's, you are a good speaker. And it's like, those are things that, like, you shouldn't be afraid of messing up because you're human. But at the same time, you need to make sure you're presenting a product that can be used.
Right.
So don't worry about the second or third take. Nobody's going to care. If nobody's going to know that you did two or three takes.
Oh, yeah.
It's better to do, you know, three takes and use the third great one, take the extra time, rather than trying to do it perfectly the first time and then settling.
Right.
For whatever comes out. You know anything about Jackie Chan, D?
I've heard of him.
Oh, you've heard of him?
Yeah.
All right. Jackie Chan does these insane stunts. And people look at him doing his stunts and they say, wow, you are an amazing, amazing martial artist and athlete that you can pull off these stunts. And he'll tell you, no, it's just that he did it, you know, 40 takes and he took the one where he did it right.
The one where he flipped the gun up in the air and had it land in the holster as opposed to just falling on the floor.
Exactly. And it's not like he just he's just such an amazing person that just happened the first time. It's not. It's that he took the time to do it right. And once you do that, then you're going to get a better product.
Yeah, that makes me even think of something I've shared with people before. When you watch video, especially from, you know, whether it's in business or some of the different vloggers out there, and you think you're seeing a quote unquote, like really human experience. And you're like, oh, look at, they made a mistake there. They kind of screwed that up. I'm usually like, that's in the script.
Oh yeah.
you know, like the times when they're like, oh, I'm just totally doing this off the cuff. They're doing that off the cuff video. That's probably, to your point, that's probably the 14th take of their off the cuff.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying everybody needs to be perfect every time. I'm just saying that you're either going to do it in a manner that does the job, or you shouldn't do it at all.
Right.
So like those things, I know you watch all sorts of vlogs and whatnot, and yeah, they go, those guys are willing to make mistakes on camera because it does humanize them. It does make them, if it wasn't working, if it was detracting from what they're trying to say, they wouldn't use that take at all.
And they're still choosing which mistakes for you to see, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, so still, you can present your best self.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that was too big of a mistake. I'm not going to show that one. But, oh, that's a little human goof. So that's right. Endearing, but it doesn't take away my credibility.
Exactly.
So I want to talk about beer for a second, but the one last tip that you've taught me and that I want to just beat this drum for everybody is – audio also matters. Get a good microphone. And by good microphone, you can find a decent lav mic for $20 on Amazon.
Yeah, it does make a huge difference.
People will forgive bad lighting if you have good audio.
So. Yeah. I mean, and there's plenty of, if you're shooting on a smartphone, there's plenty of ones that are Bluetooth enabled, or even if you're just using AirPods, that even that will help reduce the amount of echo. It'll reduce the amount of extraneous noises. Yeah, audio is a big deal.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure I at least put that in there.
All right, well, you've got your credibility as a video professional now.
Boom, done. So I know we're both drinking the Infinite Citra.
We are.
But, and you know what,
it's
I'm enjoying
more for
it.
For me than for you, my friend.
I'm still kind of digging it. You know, not probably where I'd start, but I have no problem having this.
You wouldn't kick a pint of it out of bed.
I would not kick a pint of this out of bed, as the saying goes. what are you drinking these days? What are your favorite beers right now? I know some of them, but it doesn't hurt to ask.
Well, I do love supporting local, and as you know, we are big fans of Sketchbook.
Yep. Sponsor of the show. Much love.
Past sponsor of the show. I'm actually loving their People Power IPA.
Okay.
Not just because it supports a good cause, but it's actually very tasty and it's a good twist on that. And you know me, I am the hoppy guy in our relationship. You're the
opposites attract.
You're the stout.
I'm the malt, you're the hop. I got it, yeah.
Calling you fat.
Hey, you know, I've got the COVID-15 or something, or COVID-6. I don't know.
That's good. I like, you're the malt, I'm the hop. That's funny.
I'm getting us matching t-shirts for Christmas.
I like that. I love Ninja versus Unicorn, which I think is also Pipeworks.
That is a Pipeworks. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one, not just for the art, but the taste is good, and it's an imperial double IPA.
So you really dig, I mean, even like the Citra doesn't taste that bitter to me. You actually prefer the bitterness, right?
I do actually like the bitterness. And I've got a weird reason why I like the bitterness. It's because it has allowed people, the bitterness has allowed people to experiment. Because
expound, what do you mean?
Well, I feel like, you know, I wasn't always a beer drinker.
Well, and then you became 12. Yeah, I get it.
No, well, you know, growing up, it was all, you know, Budweiser, Miller Lite, which one do you want?
Right.
And, you know, I went with my buddy James, and we went to the World Beer Festival in Durham, North Carolina. And it was like 100 beers. I didn't know that there were all these different kinds of beers. And the fact of the matter is that every single brewery we went to, they had an IPA on their list. And it wasn't because it was like, oh, well, this is the popular one. They were doing it because it's the one that's the hardest to screw up from tasting like an IPA.
Right, right.
So they were willing from that point to try to mix it up with that. If you know, the taking away the fear of complete failure allows people to experiment.
Sure.
Because they know they'll get something out of it. Might not be the best, but they'll get something out of it, so they're willing to try. You know, if you're trying to make a Saison or whatever, something with a light taste, then, and you add, you know, I can't even think of what, you add garlic to it, then people are going to be like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
But if you're doing an IPA and you say, oh, what's a crazy ingredient that I can add to it? You know, you can try it out and, you know, you can be surprised. Whereas you're not even going to try it if you think you're just going to fail.
Right. No, I'm with you.
So that's part of why I like the hoppy ones and the bitterness is because I know I'm still going to get that beer taste, even if they give me something I wasn't expecting.
Totally fair. I like it. I like it.
So also, you know, unlike you, you know, I don't drink the Guinness because I don't like to chew my beer.
Hey now, Guinness, and the humor, of course, Guinness actually has less calories and less alcohol than a regular lager. So there you go.
Yeah, less alcohol doesn't sound that great. So.
for the days when you need that, that's what imperial stouts are for, right? To help get you through the day. Well, this, you know, I mean, this has been good. I think this is a good time to kind of wrap things up. I mean, as I prefaced our conversation, you really were there. There was, I would say there was four of us who, for one magic summer when we were mostly all single and didn't have anywhere better to be or better people to be with. We, mm-hmm. me, you, Ian Carswell, and Brian Miller hung out and had a lot of barbecues and a lot of late night conversations talking about beer and music.
That's
and
true.
Business and One night we were like, man, this would be a great podcast. And I was the only one crazy enough to actually think we were being serious. So
there were a lot of thoughts of places that we could take, that we could like legitimize our drinking sessions. And yeah, Beer Beats and Business really was one of the ones with legs. I mean, Spontaneous Drinking Club did not last as long as we'd like.
We tried,
but it did not last as long as we like, but Beer Beats and Business seems to have legs, my friend.
Hey, you know, so far so good. This has been a great end to season six, but we're already getting ready for season seven. So, I mean, that's my way of telling everybody there'll be a little bit of a break between this one and the next, but we will be back for season seven. You know, this does sound like a good place for us to wrap things up. Rob, I always ask my guests, what's one piece of advice that you'd give someone to help them have a better day today?
You know, Dee's going to think this sounds weird coming from me, but it's breathe out, you know, because it's tempting to just take all the negativity that's going on in the world and just, you know, like bundle it up and hold on to it until you're shaken. You know, just take the time to exhale and let it go for however long you need to do that. And the rest of your day, you won't be building up that anger anymore. You'll have let it go and you'll be starting from scratch. That sounded terrible.
Hey, I think that's fantastic. I mean, whether it's anger or frustration.
It sounds like there's constantly rising anger.
Hey, again, whether it's frustration or anger or irritation or just tension, yeah.
just release it every once
in a while. We're recording this in 2020. So you know what? Everybody's got a lot of all of that.
Yeah. That's fair.
So fantastic. Hey, if somebody wanted to continue the conversation, what's the best way for somebody to get in touch with you?
I'd say if they want to continue a business conversation, I'd say they should contact me on LinkedIn.
Cool. We'll put all the links and stuff in the show notes. Man, this has been a great conversation, and of course helped along by our sponsor, Pipeworks Brewing. I am done with my Infinite Citra, which has been tasty. And I'm digging the Citra hopped IPAs. Both, I know Sketchbook we referenced earlier has one, but definitely Pipeworks has been fantastic. And they've got a lot. Pipeworks has a lot of amazing beers with some of the best names and some of the best artwork you'll ever see. So if you get a chance, definitely check them out. If they're not distributed in your area, because you're not here in the Midwest, in Chicago, totally cool. Go and support a local brewery, distillery, cidery, winery, craftsman, restaurant. We are obviously, as we're recording this in 2020, in the pandemic, we're in some interesting times, or as I like to say, whack-ass times. And the way we're going to get through these times is together. So make sure you're supporting the local people so that they're going to be here after all this is done to take care of us. And also, this is the end of season 6. It's been fantastic. This will be the pandemic season, but I've loved the conversations that I've had with our guests. I hope you've enjoyed those conversations. We will be back with season 7. And in between now and then, if you like what we're doing, would really appreciate a review or rating on your podcast app of choice. And really the best thing you can do is if you know somebody who would have enjoyed one of these conversations, if you know somebody who wants to get better at doing video, just say, hey, check out this episode of the B3 podcast, Beer Beats in Business, because a recommendation is always the best way to find out about a new podcast. And everybody, truly, thank you so much for spending some time with me during the season. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm truly grateful for you spending your time with me. And with that, see you next season. Bye.
Thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. We all know the best way to find out about a new podcast is through our friends. So please help us out and share what we're doing through social media, or just tell someone. And if you could do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Want to get in on the conversation? Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar. And we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business.